Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So this is unexpected. I didn't expect to do this today, but Krishna's in control. So today is the 10th, right? November 10th, and we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, text number 19. Tapa. Oh, here it says, so it's text 10. Okay. It's in the wrong place here in the book. Text 10, okay. Dashtam Janam Sampatitam Bile Asmin Kalahina Shudra Suhoru Sukhoru Tarsham Samudharainam Kripa Ya Pavargyar Vacho Bir Asincha Maha Anubhava Dashtam Janam Sampititang Bilesmin Kala Hinakshudra Sukhoru Tarsam. Samud Harainam Kripaya Pavargyar Vachovir Asincha Mahanubhava Dastang Janam Sampitam Vilesmin Kala Hinakshudra Sukholu Tarsam Samud Harainam Kripaya Pavargyar Vacho Vir Aschina Mahanubhava Dastang Janam Sampitam Tang Bilesmin Kala Hinakshudra Sukhoru Karsam Samud Harainam Kripaya Pavargar Vachobir Asincha Mahanubhava Dashtang Janam Sampititang Bilesmin Kala Hinakshudra Sukholu Tarsam Samahinam Kripaya Pravargyar Vachovir Asinchana Mahabhava Dastang Janam Sampititang Bilesmin Kala Hinakshudra Sukhoru Tarsam Samud Harainam Kripaya Pavargyar Pachobir Asinchana Mahanubhava Matajis. Dastang Janam Sampitam Bilesmin Kala sudra sukru darsasarasa. Samudharayanam kribaya pavargyar. Vachobir asinjana mahanubhava. Dashtam janam sampititam milesmin. Kala hinakshudra sukoru tarsham. Samud harainam kribaya pavargyar. Vachovir asanjana mahanava. Dashtam bitten. Janam, the person. Sampatitam, hopelessly fallen. Belay, in the dark hole. Asmin, this. Kala, of time. Ahina, by the serpent. Shudra, insignificant. Shuka, having happiness. Uru, and tremendous. Tarsham, hankering. Samudhara, please uplift. Enam, this person. Kripaya, by your causeless mercy. Apavargya, that awakened one to liberation. Vachobir, by your words. Asincha, please pour. Mahanubhava, O mighty Lord. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. O Almighty Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into the dark hole of material existence, where the snake of time has bitten him. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Please save me, my Lord, by pouring down the nectar of your instructions, which awaken one to spiritual freedom. Nice verse. I think it deserves to be repeated, right? O Almighty Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into the dark hole of material existence, where the snake of time has bitten him. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Please save me, my Lord, by pouring down the nectar of your instructions, which awaken one to spiritual freedom. Purport. Material life, so much cherished by the non-devotees, is here compared to a dark hole filled with poisonous snakes. In material life, there is certainly no clear understanding of one's ultimate identity, of God, or of the universe. Everything is vague and dark. In material life, the poisonous snake of time is always threatening, and at any moment, our near and dear ones will be killed by the mortal fangs of the serpent. Ultimately, we ourselves will also be bitten and killed by the poisonous effects of time. The word sampatitam indicate that the fall down of the living entity is complete. In other words, he cannot get up again. Sri Uddhava therefore appeals to the Lord to be kind to these poor fallen souls, humbly represented by his own self. If one receives the Lord's mercy, then even without any further qualification, one can go back home, back to Godhead. And without the mercy of Lord Krishna, the most learned, austere, powerful, wealthy, or beautiful man will be pathetically crushed by the material world's machinery of illusion. Wow, powerful sentence there. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described here, is Mahanubhava, or the greatest, most powerful, and most merciful personality, whose influence extends everywhere. The Lord's mercy is manifest in the form of his nectarian instructions, such as the Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita, which is what we're reading from right here, being spoken by the Lord, right here. The words Shudra Sukaru Tarsham reveals the irony of material existence. Although material happiness is Shudra, or ridiculous, and insignificant, our desire to enjoy it is Uru, tremendous. Our disproportionate hankering to enjoy dead matter is certainly an illusory state of mind, and it gives us constant distress, keeping us bound in the dark hole of material existence. Every living entity should put aside his false prestige based on ephemeral bodily qualifications and appeal sincerely to the Supreme Lord Krishna for his mercy. The Lord hears every sincere appeal from even the most fallen soul, and the effects of the Lord's mercy are wonderful. Although jnanis, yogis, and fruitive workers are laboriously endeavoring to achieve their respective goals, their position is precarious and uncertain. Simply by achieving the mercy of Lord Krishna, however, one can very easily attain the highest perfection of life. If even one who is not a great or pure devotee of Lord Krishna sincerely appeals to the Lord for his mercy, the Lord is sure to give it generously. Nice purport. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Bukham Guru Javacha Lung Pungum Lung Hayate Garim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shigurum Dinataranam Vancha Kapa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In the Mahabharata, there's a story of a man who's walking through the forest. And in India, there's blind wells get covered over by grass, and you don't see them. Sometimes it happens. So this is what happened to this person. He's walking, and he falls into a well. And he's falling, and he catches on to a root. there's a root going from one side of the well to the other. So he grabs onto this root, and then he's thinking, whew, good thing this root is here. Otherwise, so he's hanging there trying to figure out how to get out. So then he's hanging there, and then he looks down, and there's a snake, a big black poisonous snake on the bottom. And then he's thinking, really good thing this root is here. So then he's trying to get how to get out of here. So as he's hanging there, he hears some chewing. There's a black rat chewing on one side of the root. And then he's thinking, oh no, this is not good. And then he hears some more chewing. There's a white rat on the other side. Now this is what's keeping him alive, pretty much, this root. So now he's losing this root. What to do? So then he's hanging there, again, trying to figure out what to do. And then he hears a roar from above. He looks up, and there's a tiger looking down at him, roaring at him. And then he's thinking, well, good thing I'm not up there. So he's in a very, very awkward situation here, right? So he has no idea what to do. He's thinking, this must be a dream, or more like a nightmare, right? So he's hanging there, and then he feels some drops on his head. Every few seconds he feels some drops on his head. He's like, well, what's that? So he looks up, and there's a honeycomb. There's honey dropping on his head. He looks at him, he puts his tongue out, and he's getting these drops. And then he's thinking, hey, life isn't so bad after all. So that's material life. The black snake represents time, as it's mentioned here. The poisonous effects of time. And people are going on as if they're going to continue on. There's no end. Just like that amazing statement that Yudhisthira said, that the most amazing thing is that everybody is dying, but people are thinking, I won't die. They're going on as if I'm not going to die. Everybody else is dying, but I'm not. The most amazing thing. But no, it happens to everybody, even the best of them. Everybody has to leave the body. Of course, there's no death for the soul, but these bodies, they're going to lose. They're going to lose in the big race, the big rat race, right? They call it the rat race. So the body loses. It's going to die. But fortunately, we don't. Of course, not many people know that. Is the light a little blinding? Or it's okay? So the black rat and the white rat, they represent night and day. Ayur Harati Vayapung Sang Udyan Astang Chayanasu Tashyarte Yakshananam Nita Uttama Sloka Vartya. That for every rise and setting of the sun, one gets closer and closer to death. But if one takes shelter of Krishna, then one can overcome this repetition, this cycle of birth and death. So this is the goal, is to get attached, somehow purify our minds, purify the soul, become attached to Krishna. And then we get out of this whole cycle, samsara, birth and death. And we go back home, back to Godhead. So this is not an easy thing. Krishna says, Durjyanam Mahammana. Of difficult things to conquer, I'm the mind. Yeah. It's like he says in the Gita of bodies of water, I am the ocean. Right? A fish, I'm the shark. So he says, of difficult things to conquer, I'm the mind. Yeah. So it's very difficult to conquer the mind, to conquer the material energy. But if we take shelter of Krishna, then katanchana smate yasmin duskuram sukaram bhaver vishmate vitayatang shat Sri Chaitanya namami tam. If one takes shelter of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then very difficult things become very easy. If we forget Lord Chaitanya, then very easy things become very difficult. So, the Lord Chaitanya is very, very merciful. So he helps us if we have this desire to take shelter of Krishna and be free of this material nature, then Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he'll certainly help us. So the tiger, you know, represents, Durga, she rides on a tiger. And she has this trident. And it has these three points, right? And they represent the threefold miseries. Miseries coming from our own body and mind. Miseries coming from nature. Miseries coming from other living entities. So that's what the tiger represents. So the living entity is in a very awkward situation. You know, you got the snake in the bottom of the pit, representing time, the poisonous effects of time, right? We got night and day is drifting away. Every day we're getting closer. Just like I'm 62 years old now. This body has been dying for 62 years. Because what does dying means? Getting closer to death. Like Prabhupada was in Mexico and he was giving sannyas to one devotee and one reporter, he was familiar with the Vedic system and he understood that sannyas is usually for later in life. And so he asked Prabhupada, these boys, they're just in their 20s, you're giving them sannyas. Usually this is for later in life, you know, for older people. And Prabhupada shot back at him. He said, what does it mean to be old? And he was startled. He was even scared, you know. He said, old means about to die. Can you say that you will not die before me? Can't say. He may die before Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada said, therefore I'm giving them sannyas. We don't know. We don't know when we're going to die. And Prabhupada also, he was giving sannyas to so many people because it was an emergency situation. Yeah, there was practically no preachers on the planet. So sannyas means traveling and preaching. And of course, many weren't able to carry on, but many were. And many of them are still preaching. So just like in a battle, some soldiers, they go down. And some are heroes and they continue on. So it was an emergency. So therefore Prabhupada acted accordingly. So here in this verse it's mentioned that the living entity is a poor living entity. And has a tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. So the happiness that everyone is searching for is happiness that doesn't end. Right? Nobody wants happiness that's going to end. Right? We all want it that's going to be nice and wonderful in the beginning. And it's just going to increase at every moment. Right? This is what everybody wants. But that's not what happens in the material world. Therefore, it's called Lada Tapakari. whatever we try to enjoy in this world, whatever we think will bring happiness, and we try to engage in that activity, that very thing becomes a source of misery. Yeah, that's the material world. And therefore, this is happiness in the mode of passion, right? It's just like nectar in the beginning, and then it becomes like poison in the end. Yeah. This is material. And the mode of goodness, it's poison in the beginning, and then it becomes like nectar. Amazing. Now, who would think that real happiness, it's poisonous in the beginning, and then it becomes like nectar. Who, you know, it's supposed to be nectar from the beginning, then increases and increases, but no. Krishna says, no, it's poison in the beginning, nectar in the end. Yeah. Just like when we tell people about our lifestyle, they're kind of shocked. You know, we rise early in the morning. We're vegetarian. We meditate 2 hours every day, and we don't watch, you know, nonsense things, televisions and movies, and we don't go out and to restaurants and eat all kinds of nonsense. People are shocked, you know. And even there was one person who wanted to be a brahmana, and he asked the devotees, can you make me a brahmana? And the devotee said, sure. You just have to follow these four regular principles: no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. You chant the Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds a day, and you could become a brahmana. And his reply was, impossible. And here's someone, he was interested. He's very interested. I want to be a brahmana. Yeah, you just follow these rules here. Psh, impossible. Can't imagine. Because these are the pillars of sinful life. There was one, Srila Prabhupada, he once said that this movement will always be a small movement. Although Prabhupada wanted it to be the biggest movement in the world. He just wanted everybody to chant Hare Krishna. But he said our movement will always be small for four reasons: no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. For these four reasons, we'll always be small. And even people that join our movement, they're chanting 16 rounds, take initiation, do everything, they can't do it. They fall away. It's very difficult, Kali Yuga, to control the senses. Very difficult to control the mind, to control the senses. Very difficult. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Tapasa brahmacharyena samena cha damena cha. Chagena, what is it? Chagena. I can't remember. But to control the mind, one must lead a life of celibacy. It's very important, because if one is not celibate, then the mind is just like, it's just all over the place, trying to enjoy and exploit. Tapasa brahmacharya samenacha damenacha. Samenacha means we have to control the mind. People think that they are their mind. It's like we used to think that whatever desires come up, that's me. Right? That's me. But no, that's not us. That's just the mind. And we're separate from the mind. Therefore, Krishna, he says, evam bhude parang budva samsyam jhatmanam atmanaha. Knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should carefully engage in Krishna consciousness and slay this formal enemy known as lust. So we're completely different from the mind. Yeah. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he made an amazing statement. He's made many a statement, many amazing statements, but he says, the mind is a non-devotee. Not only are we not our mind, but we're associating, we're moving around in this world with something that's very close to us, the mind, and it's not our friend, it's our enemy. The mind is our enemy. So we're trying to turn it into our friend by thinking of Krishna, by serving Krishna. So how do we know when the mind is our friend or the mind is our enemy? How do we know? When we're doing things that are conducive for our advancement in Krishna consciousness, when we're doing things that help us advance in Krishna consciousness, our mind is our friend. When we do things that are averse to our advancement in Krishna consciousness, that are displeasing to Krishna, our mind is our enemy. So we know, it's not difficult to know if our mind is our friend or if it's our enemy. And sometimes it goes off. So what does Krishna say? Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astaram tatastato yamnachat atmanyeva samnaya. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must bring it back under the control of the self. So it's going to go off, guaranteed, because we're impure, contaminated minds. So we have to bring it back and purify it. And by this chanting, this purifies. This purifies the mind. Yeah. Purifies the senses. Just like we have that nice example in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada puts in a purport and we put it in a nice picture of the five senses, like horses. Sometimes the horses, they get out of control. The senses, they get out of control. And the chariot, that's the body. And the reins, what's the reins? Anybody remember? The mind, yeah. And the intelligence is the driver, right? He's the steer. So, and then the passenger, of course, is the soul. So the senses have to be controlled by the mind, because there's the gross matter, then there's the senses, then there's the mind, there's a hierarchy, then there's the intelligence, then there's the soul. So with a purified mind, we're able to control the senses. And the intelligence is higher than the mind, so the intelligence controls the mind also. But sometimes, quite often actually, people's intelligence is controlled by the mind. Yeah. So we have to nurture the intelligence. And the way we do that is by reading Prabhupada's books. This is why Prabhupada wanted us to read. Because this nurtures our intelligence. And it keeps the non-devotee mind down. And it turns the mind into a devotee. That's the power of hearing. Yeah. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing Srila Prabhupada, and hearing other Vaishnavas also. That the mind and the intelligence, they get purified. And when the mind and intelligence and the soul is completely purified, then we made it. That's the perfection of life. Yeah. To be pure soul, pure mind, pure intelligence, then we made it. So, tapasa brahmacharyena samena cha damena cha, controlling the senses. Chyagena sattva sauchobhyam. One has to be detached. Now people are so attached to so many things. It's like people think that the goal of life, the success in life, all over the world, people are thinking the success of life is if I get a big home. Yeah, big home. Big bank balance. Yeah. A big name car. Yeah. Mercedes-Benz, BMW, something. Big family, big everything. This is success of life. But no, actually, the success of life is to understand how small we are. We're very small. How big are we? 1/10,000th size of a tip of a hair. We're so small. We're so small, you can't even see us. We can't even see each other. Just like you're looking at my body, but you don't see me. I'm looking at your body, you don't see me. We're not seeing each other. We're just seeing the external. So we're just seeing the body. We're so small. We can't, even with the most powerful microscope, you can't see us. We're so small. But because of false ego, we think we're big. So this process of Christian consciousness, it actually is so powerful that it dissolves the false ego and the material mind. We also have a spiritual mind. Yeah. We have a spiritual body. And by this process of Krishna consciousness, our real mind, our spiritual mind is growing. And our real body, our spiritual body is growing. We're nurturing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, he said, when one is preaching Krishna consciousness and is finding difficulty in preaching Krishna consciousness, this is very good because you're injecting your spiritual body with spiritual blood. This is how we grow quicker. We do austerity. Tapasa brahmacharyena. Austerity is so healthy for the soul. And people are doing austerities all over the world. Yeah, just like now it's getting chilly. But people are out there working in the cold. They're working sometimes 2-3 jobs. Working so hard for their sense gratification. People are doing great austerities. Yeah. In school, sometimes I've met people that are they're in school and they're working at the same time and they're only able to sleep sometimes, you know, 4 or 5 hours at night. You know, they're working so hard. It's an austerity. It's an austerity. So austerity is there, whether in material life or spiritual life. But better do it in spiritual life for the pleasure of Krishna. Yeah. And renunciation, this is another austerity. People want to get so many things. But actually, everything belongs to Krishna. This is the reality. But people are trying to enjoy things that don't belong to them. So what is that? Someone sees a nice car and they just jump in there and drive off. What is that? That's against the law. Everything belongs to Krishna. So if we take something for our own pleasure, then we're a thief. Yeah. Just like imagine a police officer, he's got his car, his police car, and he just decides to go out and have a good time with his family. He's got his kids and he puts some inner tubes through the car and he's got all this, he got a surfboard above his car, you know, and he's just going out to have a good time with his police car and all his family. I mean, people would look at that and like, what? What the, he can't, that's a government vehicle. He can't just go out on vacation like that. Right? It's a government vehicle. He can't do that. It's against the law. He would probably be fired if the sergeant saw him driving off with his family and inner tubes and surfboard and all these things. And, you know, he can't do that. So everything belongs to Krishna. Isavasyam idang sarvam yat kincha jagat yam jagat. Everything that exists is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one should not take anything for one's own sense gratification. We should take that which is set aside as our quota, but not take more. But people want much, 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 much more than their quota. You know, this is increases their false prestige, their false ego. The more they get, more and more they want, more and more and more. A millionaire, he wants to become a multi-millionaire or a billionaire. You know, just never satisfied. Tyagena satya, sauchavyam. And one has to be truthful. To control the mind, we have to be truthful. If one is not truthful and trying to control the mind, it's not possible because it's hypocrisy. Yeah. So truthfulness is very, very important. And there's the austerity of the mind. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he gives there's three different austerities. The austerities of the body, there's the austerities of speech, and there's the austerities of the mind. Mana prasadak somyadvam, maunam atma vinigraha, bhava sangsir icheta tapo manasam uchite. There's five austerities. Mana prasadak, to be satisfied in Krishna consciousness. That's an austerity. Because in this world there's so much opportunity for sense gratification, and we could be going off and doing all kinds of things. But to be satisfied in chanting Hare Krishna, in hearing about Krishna, engaging in devotional service, that's an austerity. And a lot of people can't do it. A lot of people that, you know, come, they can't do it. It's too austere to just be satisfied chanting Hare Krishna, reading Prabhupada's books year after year, decade after decade. You actually have to have a taste. You have to have a taste for Krishna consciousness in order to continue on and be satisfied in the service of Krishna. So that's one of the austerities of the mind. The mind may want to go off and do some other things, you know, something new. You know? This is a big thing. Everybody wants something new. And therefore there's new toys coming up, new games, new movies, new televisions, new this, everything. People want something new. So to be satisfied with the old stuff. The Holy Name is very old. The Bhagavad Gita is very old. Yeah. To be satisfied hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the Holy Name of Krishna. Yeah, it takes austerity. But these things, they're old, but they're ever fresh at the same time. The teachings, the Vedas, they're ever fresh. You can hear them again and again. Prabhupada says in one purport, you can hear Bhagavad Gita thousands of times, and each time you read it, you get new insight in the subject matter. So to be satisfied in Krishna consciousness, that's an austerity. Mana prasarak somyatam maunam. To be honest also. Mana prasarak somyatam means honesty. We have to be honest with others. And we have to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we get this idea that we are some big devotee. You know? But a devotee never even thinks he's a devotee. What to speak of a big devotee? It's like there was one devotee wrote a letter to Prabhupada, a nice poem. And in the poem, he was a new devotee. He mentions that he's a devotee of Krishna. And Prabhupada wrote back and said, it's a nice poem, but you should never think that you're a devotee. We're always trying to become devotees. Yeah. To be a devotee is not an easy thing. Yeah. And even when one becomes a devotee, still he doesn't think he's a devotee. If you're thinking you're a devotee, then you got a problem. We're always trying to become devotees. Yeah. Always aspiring for that devotional attitude. Yeah. But if you think you're very fallen, then you're actually very healthy. You know, someone might think that I'm going nicely in Krishna consciousness. He may think that, but he might be going backward. And someone else may be thinking, oh, I'm so fallen, I have no qualification. He's thinking he's so fallen, going, but he's actually going forward. He's thinking he's going backward, but he's going forward. So humility is a very big part of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So mana prasadak somyadvam, we have to be honest with ourselves, we have to be honest with others. When the reporter asked Prabhupada, how can we tell who is a devotee of Krishna? And Prabhupada said, he's a perfect gentleman. Perfect gentleman. This is a symptom of a devotee. Perfect gentleman. Maunam. Maunam means gravity. You have to be grave. Yeah. Of course, Prabhupada was very grave. But at the same time, he had an incredible sense of humor. But he always had it in Krishna consciousness. It's like Shyama Sundar. He was traveling around with Prabhupada for 2 years. And he told me, Prabhupada had us laughing all the time. He had an incredible sense of humor. He had his play with words, just like, you know, like demon crazy, and you know, so many other, what other words? Prabhupada made up words, really sweet words. Yeah. Anybody think of any others?
Donuts.
Donuts. Oh, yeah. Surfers. They were the sufferers. Yeah. Prabhupada had a way with words. Yeah. So he just endeared the devotees. Because he was so grave. He was so philosophical, so intelligent. But at the same time, he was very innocent. And he had an incredible sense of humor. Just multifaceted. You know, personalities, and therefore he was able to capture so many living beings. One time he told the leaders of one temple, he said, if you can get the devotees to love you, they'll do anything for you. Of course, that's not easy. But Prabhupada, he was just such an amazing personality. People would come in touch with him just a short time, and they'd just like fall in love with him. Amazing. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that amazing pastime, Prabhupada, when he was in his last days, he wanted to go on Govardhan Parikram. And he was fasting, and then the devotees were just begging Prabhupada, you know, the road is so rugged, there's no way you're going to survive. Please, don't do this. They're just, you know, somewhere, because Prabhupada wanted it, some were saying, no, he can do it. That's, you know, it's Prabhupada, he can do it. You know, but most of them were saying, no, Prabhupada, don't do it. You know. And then finally Prabhupada said, okay, I won't go. And then the boy was like, phew. So relieved that Prabhupada's not going to go on this parikram. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to Prabhupada, you bring out so much love from us to you. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said something else. I can't remember. Anybody remember? That's my duty. Yeah. Yes, that's my duty. So Prabhupada brought out so much love. You know, because he was just such an amazing person. I mean, how can we give so much? I mean, I grew up and my father was just like, I mean, I don't want to go into details, but he was out there. He was way out there, you know? Like many of our fathers, right? You know, just like way out there. So I had no love. I had no love for him because I knew this person's out there. But Prabhupada, I mean, so much out there. Whatever Prabhupada, whenever I hear Prabhupada said we should do something, I always do. Whatever Prabhupada said, I do. Just like he was talking about exercise. And he said, what is this called? And the voice said, jumping jacks, Prabhupada. I said, yeah. Prabhupada said, yes, this is very good. Jumping jacks, very good. So I do my exercise. So I do jumping jacks, you know. Prabhupada said it's good, so I do it. Yeah. And there was one devotee that was really, he had this passionate energy. And he went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I just have this passionate energy. What should I do with it? And Prabhupada said, this is what you do. And Prabhupada got down and he started doing push-ups. Do push-ups. That'll wear off your energy, you know. So during my exercise, I do push-ups too, and wear off that passionate energy. So I've just developed so much affection for Prabhupada that whatever he says, this is what I'm going to do, yeah. Because he's such an amazing person. We're so fortunate. You know? Even we may not have met Prabhupada. Prabhupada said that you can meet me in my books. He said, I'm in my books more than I am in my personality. Because he said, I put everything in the books. Even his sense of humor is there in the books. You know. So we're very, very fortunate to have this opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada, to serve his instructions, to serve his order, to follow his instructions. He said, you can advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness if you follow the rules. You follow the big ones and the small ones, and you'll advance very quickly. And one of the things he says, very important, is that we start our day with Mangalarti. It's very important. Mangalarti means, what is it? The auspicious arti. Yeah. Of course, it's not easy for some. You're working late or something. But if at all possible, once you come to Mangalarti, it's the auspicious arti of the day, most auspicious. Right? Nice way to start the day. The other day we had 10 people at Mangalarti. That was the record so far since I've been here. 10 people, that was pretty good. So, I encourage all of you, try to make it Mangalarti. It's good. It just means taking rest a little earlier and coming. You get to see Shishi Radha Kanji and Shishi Gaurini Thai and Jagannath Baladeva Tsubhadra. So beautiful. Another reason to come early in the morning to get darshan of the Lord's. So, is there any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
Some people are talking about
Yeah, the question is, what's the benefit of chanting our japa before Mangalarti? Is that? Yeah. Prabhupada told Jamuna Devi that the best time to chant your japa is before Mangalarti. It's the best time. Because there's nothing else. There's nothing else to think of, to do, you know. So when I heard that, I thought, well, Prabhupada said it. I was already waking up at 2:30, so I'd get like usually 12 rounds chanted. But then I thought, if I just wake up a half hour earlier, then I could do it. So I've been doing that for a couple of years now, maybe 2 or 3 years, and I've never had a better program. I've never been able to concentrate so much on the mantra as I have doing this program. You know, I take rest at 7:30, get up at 2 o'clock, get about 6.5 hours. Of course, you got to be able to take rest early, but if you can, it's really good. Give it a try. It's really, really nice. And then after Mangalarti, then I read Prabhupada's books and do some exercise. And then by the time I'm ready to go out on book distribution, I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I'm ready for the material energy and giving Krishna to the conditioned souls. So it's a nice program. I highly recommended it. Prabhupada recommended it. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.